Hey, Tacoma, what's up? John Doherty here for Radio Tacoma's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate, always respectfully, and today, optimistically. Why optimistic? Well, stay tuned. We're going to be talking with Megan Vibbert. She's the Public Information Officer over at Douglas County Public Utility District on the Columbia River. We're going to have a conversation about producing green hydrogen. That means not emitting greenhouse gases in either production or when it's burned as a fuel. How is that possible? Well, at the end of this interview, we'll all know the answer to that question, so here we go. We're very happy to have Megan Vibbert with us today. She's Public Information Officer for the Douglas County PUD. Megan, welcome to Climate Talk.
Thank you, John.
So first off, I guess I'd just like to thank Douglas PUD for all that beautiful, clean hydro power you make. I mean, as we transition into a green fossil-free fuel energy future, it is pretty wonderful to live here in the Pacific Northwest. And you've got that magnificent river, the Columbia River over there, which I've always had a soft spot in my heart for the Columbia River. I remember as a kid in school down in Oregon singing Roll on Columbia.
Right. Maybe.
So it's a beautiful song, and I pull it out every once in a while just to remind me of those days. Sandy Willamette, Hood River too, all of that. So anyway, love the Columbia and grateful to Douglas County PUD. So this is a climate program, and what we're particularly interested in talking about is a hydrogen project that's going on over there. So how about giving us the rundown on what that project's about?
You bet. So you mentioned that we have a hydro project there on the Columbia River, Wells Dam. It's an 840 megawatt run of river hydro project. And as far as our hydrogen project goes, we are piloting a 5 megawatt electrolyzer that will produce about 2 tons of hydrogen a day. And we have the ability to phase that up in different phases to around 100 megawatts if all goes well with this pilot project.
So I'm a little shaky on what a megawatt is. So what is, if you say 5 megawatts, and I understand this is a pilot project with potential for much more downstream, so to speak, depending on how things play out. So how much energy is 5 megawatts? I mean, can you give us some, like how gasoline or something like that?
Well, as far as electrolyzers go, that isn't very big. But if you think of it as far as residential usage, let's see. So in the Northwest, we use primarily electricity to heat our homes. I think maybe more on the west side you have more gas, but here in central Washington, we're primarily electric. And so our average customers use about 2,000 kilowatt hours a month for their home to heat, cool, lighting, appliances. And so 1 megawatt is a million kilowatts.
Okay, so if I do the math, then approximately how many homes would 5 megawatts power?
I think the general rule of thumb is it 500 houses per megawatt.
Okay, so that'd be 2,500 houses. So I mean, even as a pilot project, I mean that's a chunk of energy. So
I might have to check that stat for you, but let's go with that now.
I'll clear it up in the outro if we need to
there
do that.
You.
But anyway, it gives some kind of feel for what we're talking about here. So so most hydrogen that's made in the United States and probably around the world too right now is actually made from methane. And so there's a lot of carbon dioxide emission off of that, plus a lot of energy, which is mostly fossil fuel energy, is used in making that hydrogen. So while the hydrogen seems like pretty nice stuff, getting there is not so great if you're looking at the environment. So how is what Douglas County PUD, doing different from that traditional way of getting hydrogen?
Great. So that's the steam reformation process that you're talking about. So we're using an electrolyzer. It has a PEM membrane, this membrane in the middle that you're going to separate your positive and negatives of your electrons. And so out one hole comes hydrogen and the other part vents off oxygen. And so by using renewable energy, primarily we're going to be using the Wells Project power, that clean, renewable, green hydropower. Mm-hmm. But then also, I mean, you could use your wind or solar powers. So renewable energy goes into it, this green hydrogen comes out of it. And then if you use it in your fuel cells or whatever for transportation, you know, that the emissions are going to be water vapor. So the whole cycle's carbon free.
Yeah. So that's awesome. So it's like energy that can be used for any number of things, including just storing it if you want to use it for that. And there's no fossil fuels anywhere in the process. So I guess that comes under the heading, what's not to love, right?
Right.
So let's see. Is this project going to take hydropower away from producing electricity that's needed elsewhere?
Oh, well, that's a great question. Great segue, right? You must have done this before. So no, in answer to that, no. There are times of the year when the wind is blowing and the sun is shining and the water, the snowpack is melting from the mountains, and that beautiful Columbia River has a ton of water coming down, right? And so those times of year, they also are milder temperatures typically. And so people are not, there's not much load on the system. So one of the benefits of this project is that when hydro projects spill water because there's not the load for what they have of their resource, if they spill water, then it can be harmful to fish. And so that would be a violation of our license. We don't want to put bubbles in the river. And so rather than doing that, or the alternative is actually paying someone to take this power from you because there's no demand for it, but you have to, you know, balance the grid and move that water from one end of the river to the other. At those times of year, we wouldn't be paying someone to take our power or spilling water. We could actually be sending that electricity to our electrolyzer and be able to store it or use it for other uses.
So once again, it seems like there's a bunch of win-win stuff out there. Like I was unaware of the fact that spilled water over a dam is harmful to the fish. So you mentioned bubbles. Is that what the issue is that's harmful to them?
Yeah, it traps gas in the water and they can get like what a diver would get, the bends. Hmm. So we have to be really careful about how we pass the water through the project.
Yeah, it's got to be painful too. I mean, I'm just thinking of it as a consumer. It must be painful to have to pay somebody to take your excess electricity.
That's not a very good business model, is it?
Yeah, right. There's folks out there that would love to get a handle into that, I guess. So clear up for me for just a second here what a public utility district is. I mean, is the Douglas County PUD, is that a for-profit or not-for-profit organization?
Oh, good. Yeah, that's a great education point. So we were formed by a vote of the people back in 1936, Douglas PUD was. And actually in the 30s is when Washington State allowed, or the legislation came through to allow citizens to vote on having their own electric utility. And so we were formed in 1936 and we're a not-for-profit. We are accountable to our customer owners. We own and operate everything that we do. We have three elected commissioners who set the policies and direct the manager to do the operations.
Okay, well, so nonprofit, but the reality is that whether an organization is nonprofit or not, income has got to at least equal outgo over time or you go defunct. So the thing I'm wondering about is this hydrogen project, is it going to pay for itself in the short term, midterm, long term? What's the view on that?
Well, you know, let's talk about that. So depending on what the price of hydrogen that we charge, will kind of depend that. If you're not, I think about a 10-year payback period is what we're looking at. However, there's right now you're probably well aware of there's a lot of incentives in the hydrogen market right now. And so if those come through and we're able to decrease our capital costs because of those, you know, that's a benefit to our customer owners also.
So is that projection just based on this pilot project or is this based on expanding?
No, this is just on our initial phase.
Okay. Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with a 10-year payback. I mean, I put solar on my roof and it's 13-year payback on that. So yeah. I was happy to do it. So let's just take another, a little different look. So hydrogen, you know, as a layperson, it sounds like, yeah, it could be, it's strange and it could be dangerous or toxic or something like that. So are there any concerns around safety, toxicity, things like that in using hydrogen for a fuel?
Sure. So it is a flammable gas. So, you know, you want to be careful with that. But electricity is also a safety concern. And so we have a long history of providing safe, reliable service to our customers. You know, as long as you're careful about proper venting your gases and how you're handling them, the piping and the storage containers are all designed for that high pressure gas. You know, as far as if you're comparing fuels, one might look at it as safer than gasoline. You know, if there is a leak, it's lighter than air, and so it's going to go straight up. And so if there was an explosion, it would not go out. And, you know, stuff you don't like to think about. But, you know, in reality, it might be a little bit safer than gasoline. But we just take those precautions.
Yeah, sure. I think it's human nature that we can be comfortable with something that's got dangers associated with it, and something new comes along and we kind of dive in and focus in on possible dangers there. I heard a commentator not too long ago talking about gasoline and said if gasoline had come on the scene now as opposed to 1920 or something like that, it would never be approved because it's just so incredibly dangerous and damaging
toxic
to the environment.
And,
all those bad things. I mean, and we do know it can just blow up like crazy. In fact, I think brief factoid, I served in the Marine Corps for 5 years, and napalm, which everybody's ever heard of, is made out of gasoline. So, just be aware that when you fuel up your car with gasoline, you're putting a little napalm in the tank. So I'm just wondering, did this project require any specialized regulatory approvals or legislative changes to make this project possible?
Good question. So public utility districts in Washington state are only authorized to do what's very specifically said by the legislature. And so we have a history of providing electricity, water, wastewater, and wholesale broadband services. So back in 2019, Douglas PUD partnered with Senator Hawkins out of the 12th district and passed legislation unanimously, I'll note, for PUDs to produce, distribute, and sell green hydrogen. And so, yes, we did have to get that authority from the legislature. And so since then, that's when we've started working on our plans.
So I believe Senator Hawkins is a Republican. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. So I just want to touch on something here. So there's this kind of sense that let's just say folks left of center are concerned about the environment and folks right of center aren't, which I think is really mythological. So when Senator Hawkins was lobbying for this bill or promoting it, did he make reference to the environmental benefits of it as well as the financial benefits?
Oh, yeah. You know, he's a constituent here and appreciates the green renewable hydropower that we have. And so he's a big advocate of that. You know, his talking points were that Douglas PUD will continue to be a leader in clean energy. And so, no, and I think that's why it was, you know, an easy sell with a renewable resource with our current governor and legislative makeup. It was just a perfect timing for that type of a legislation to come through.
Yeah, it does seem like a beautiful confluence of a number of things. And, you know, note to self, let's see if we can find more of those kind of things going downstream.
Just an aside,
a lot of strangely, Texas is the number one producer of wind energy in the United States. I mean, strange because normally we would think, well, that's not a state that would care about that kind of thing, but they're doing it because it makes good economic sense to them down there. So there are definitely intersections of things that make good economic and environmental sense, and it's a great place to pursue. So are there any other entities besides Douglas County PUD that are involved with this project, got their fingers in the pie, so to speak?
Well, no other that are going to be owners of it. We do have some financial help. We did receive some money from the state for the fueling component of it. We did receive a small grant from our American Public Power Association for a part of it. But as far as partners, no, it's just Douglas Piuti doing this.
Okay, so cool. So sometimes when there can be lots of projects that you look at and say, hey, this is a really good project, but there are folks who their hair catches on fire over a project and they're resistant to it. So I'm just wondering, your constituents over there, has there been pushback or not in my backyard kind of things at all?
There hasn't been. We're trying to educate our customers about what we're doing. We have a couple YouTube videos out there about kind of Hydrogen 101 and what we're going about doing it. There's some more information in those videos about the benefits that we're going to see at the Wells Project, or that we hope to see at the Wells Project, as far as efficiencies and maintenance, decreasing maintenance costs. There hasn't been any vocal opponents to the project.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're doing a great job as a PIO. I mean, I think there's lots of things going on in our culture these days that if better information properly packaged were put out, that there we wouldn't have some of the misunderstandings that we have. And it sounds like you guys have been proactive in terms of explaining what you're doing, explaining what the benefits are, and sort of nipping people's concerns in the bud. I think, you know, if people don't know what's going on, that's when the rumors and the pushback starts and so on. So, so congratulations on that piece. So what's the timeline look like from here? Let me ask another question first. What is this hydrogen going to be used for initially?
Good. So we don't have contracts signed yet, but in theory, you know, transportation, we have a lot of transit agencies that are interested in it. Some larger users that might be interested in it for backup power. Also, some heavy equipment operators are looking to maybe transition that type of equipment into fuel cell. You know, there's airlines that are testing the possibilities, marine applications. So there's quite a few agencies. Agriculture, you know, they can use it in their fertilizers. And we're a big farming community here in Douglas County, or agricultural community. And so it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out.
Okay, so the population centers in Washington State are west of the mountains primarily. And no disrespect to Spokane, of course. And, can this hydrogen be transported? I mean, could it be transported from where you are to be used over here west of the mountains?
Yeah, actually, in fact, we do have a partnership with the Bonneville Environmental Foundation. They and we received a grant from a Centralia coal plant. They were doing a transition, and so there's a grant for that BEF is going to be building a fueling station over there in the Centralia Olympia area, and Douglas Piuti will be providing the fuel for that. And so we'll truck it over in canisters.
So you mentioned the Centralia coal-fired plant. So I missed what's the connection between hydrogen and that plant, which is shutting down, I think, in 2025.
Right. So they did grants for these energy, green energy type efficient projects. And so we were part of that grant process that to help transition away from coal. And this was one of the projects chosen to have a hydrogen fueling station over there.
Okay, cool. Well, looking downstream, I mean, I've heard some concerns about, okay, we're taking that electric generating capacity offline, and are we going to be okay afterwards? So it is kind of anxiety relieving to know that people are looking at that and trying to do the transition. And if we could do it with hydrogen, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Well, you know, green power is great. Green power is great. Wind, solar, all good opportunities. It's most beneficial when you have a partner with hydropower, right?
Right.
Because when the sun's not shining or the wind's not blowing, you still want to charge your car. You still want to heat your coffee up or whatever. And so by having that partnership, will be good to make that transition. We just need to make sure that hydropower keeps its place whenever people think about renewable energy, right? Sometimes we get shoved aside, but really, the original renewable energy.
Yep. Yeah, I think that that's an education piece that we need to do a better job of, because while there is a lot of wind and solar energy, as you say, it's intermittent and we can't count on it. We do have to have some kind of baseline source of power. Hydro is a great source of that right now and into the future. And if we can use that excess hydro, which you guys are doing, to create hydrogen, which can be put in a tank someplace and used as we need it, that seems like a good, at least partial answer to that intermittency problem. Mm-hmm. So getting close to the end here. So just wondering, what's the timeline? When are you guys actually going to be producing some hydrogen?
Well, when we started the project, we were really ambitious and we said we'll be producing by spring of 22. And here it is, like months away, and we still have ground, bare ground out there. So no, not bare ground. We're putting in the utilities right now. The electrolyzer is manufactured. It's going through the testing process and will be delivered here shortly. So the goal is to be in production by the end of 2022.
Okay, great. So just to kind of summarize for myself as a layperson kind of point of view, is what we're doing is we're taking hydro, which is a nice clean source of energy, and we're using the excess hydro to make green hydrogen, which is a fossil-free source of energy, and it's storable and can be used in long distance transport industries and things like that. So is that a good layperson summary of what you guys are doing over there?
Yeah, you bet. And so, yeah, that hydrogen can be used in a variety of different industries that will hopefully decarbonize that cycle.
Okay. Well, anything else you'd like to add, Megan? I mean, I've really enjoyed talking to you. I've learned a lot and got some perspectives I didn't have before. Anything else that I or our listeners should know about?
Yeah, I don't know if that's important to you, but I did get some factoids for you on equivalence, right? And so if you're looking at, we talk about tons, metric tons, as far as the output for our hydrogen. And so 1 kilogram of hydrogen has the same energy potential that 1 gallon of gas does. Personal vehicles, if they're going to be a fuel cell, typically have 6 to 8 kilogram volume tanks in them. And they are showing great promise as far as the range that they can go on that amount of hydrogen. And so that's exciting. And I think it's improving all the time. Our 5 megawatt plant will use about 8 gallons of water per minute at full capacity running the 5 megawatts. That would be 11,500 gallons a day. And then that excess water that comes out of the process that is not used in the electrolysis process because of, we have to make sure it's very pure going into the equipment. And so that would be evaporated off.
Okay. Well, so thanks for those numbers. And it does give some perspective. So Megan, it's really been great talking with you. As I said, I've learned a lot and got some perspectives I didn't have before. Really grateful for the Douglas County PUD paying attention to not only customer needs for energy, but delivering it in a reliable and green kind of way, too. So thanks so much for being with us today.
You betcha. Thank you, John.
Well, it was great talking with Megan Vibbert. Our conversation was primarily about the pilot project over there in Douglas County, one that I believe we can all wish well. There's another important aspect to green hydrogen that we just touched on, and that is its use for long-distance ocean and air travel, as well as powering certain energy-intensive industries like steel and cement. Powering those industries and that form of travel in a fossil fuel-free way is going to be a challenge. To me, it's clear that a fossil-free future is going to either include green hydrogen or something very much like it. If you've got questions, comments, suggestions for future shows, drop me a note at john@ccltacoma.org. CCL is for Citizens Climate Lobby. I'm an activist with Citizens Climate Lobby. Check it out at ccltacoma.org. This program, like all locally produced Radio Tacoma programs, is archived on the KTAH website. Just navigate to the KTAH website, look for programming, and you'll find the archive in there. That's it for today. Reminding you, as always, live like the mountain is out. Take care now.
Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Your power is turning our darkness to dawn. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. other great rivers add power to you. Yakima Snake and the Clicky Tattoo, Sandy, Willamette, and Hood River too. Roll on, Columbia.